Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Great game, Halo.
Yeah.
Yeah, great game.
Fantastic.
Halo. Fantastic game.
Which was your favorite?
Probably, honestly, I liked Halo Reach a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I'm one of the few that did.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never heard someone answer
that.
No one
said that one, yeah.
All right.
That took you a little loop right there, but yeah.
Yeah, way to blow my mind to start the show.
Done.
Let's go.
Speaking of starting the show, let's do that right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I'm your co-host, Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isomaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
We got a resident degenerate. If you got it, then spend it, because you can't take this money with you, Rudy Vasquez.
Let's go, baby.
And of course, our producer extraordinaire, the Mac Daddy himself, Stepman Brad.
Yeah!
Freshly taken off the market, Statman.
Yes. Oh. Freshly taken off the market.
Off the market.
Ladies.
Too late.
Okay.
You are too late.
You had almost 30 years to get this right, and you did not.
You know what?
Taken.
Done. You had your chance to shut that book, okay, ladies?
No one impressive enough.
Keep those legs closed. Brad doesn't want it. Literally.
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, yeah. let us push forward.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
No, Jesus, you're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to give a quick little shout out right now. We're going to switch subjects real quick. Shout out to my doctor. Had a doctor appointment today. You know, got to keep your health up, y'all. All your health, physical, mentals, all the health ups. Listen to Marshawn. And my doctor wore our Talking About Practice shirt when I went there.
Ooh.
My man knew the saying, and he knew it was Allen Iverson. I was like, that's my guy. That's why you're my doctor.
That's a good doctor.
That's nice. A good doctor. And then proceeded to come about the show. So maybe he's listening right now. I probably doubt it. He's a doctor. He's got better things to do.
He's not listening.
No, not a chance. But anyway, shout out to my doc. That being said, hit me with a little grinds my gears if you could, Brad, or something.
I got him.
But there's a little something that does hurt a little bit
Hold on.
I'm holding. I am holding.
Yeah, but, we are all holding.
There's something that definitely hurts when you're at the doctor's office.
Okay.
Let me hit it.
Yeah.
You're up.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When you have an appointment with your doctor at 10:10, but you don't see him until 10:50.
Oh, I'm with you there.
I could have slept a little bit longer. Yeah. I could have taken my time and have to sit there. And it's just like, and especially because you're in a room that's got no cell service, you're just like, I'm twiddling my thumbs there. Literally just twiddling my thumbs, unable to do anything right now.
Just scrolling old pictures.
Might as well do something to clear up the storage. You know, you always get that notification all the time. My goodness.
And those waiting rooms are so awkward, too. Five to six seats, all next to each other, facing each other as well.
I'm in an actual room. Like, they call my name.
Oh, you're in the
patient room right now.
Wow, that's even worse.
I got in there at 10:10. And then didn't see him until 10:15.
So sorry, dude. Yeah. I forgot you were here.
It felt like it.
Pretty much.
But let's talk about waiting rooms while we're here.
Yeah. Wow.
When other people walk into the waiting room, are you always wondering what's their deal?
Oh, no doubt.
What are they here for?
We're always there for the same reason, for the most part. Especially, there are certain waiting rooms that in particular you want to look. You know, in certain spots,
Planned Parenthood.
Not yet. Yes.
I've been in that waiting room before.
Yeah. You're just like, oh, okay, yeah. All right, what are we going here for?
God.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I feel like when I go in there, the place I go to is primarily just old people. So it's just like, it makes sense.
Yeah, gotcha. You know?
There's nothing special there.
Yeah, you're just getting checked
just
up
getting
on.
Checked up.
Yeah.
Make sure you're not dying.
That's the craziest part. That's not the craziest. One of the weird things about getting older, I feel, is just the frequent doctor visits. It's just everything's,
Like, I'm lucky if I see mine once a year.
Yeah.
I have to. Same. I feel like I should go once a year. I should go. That was like, yeah. Kind of like, I should go. I've had some issues with stomach. I might as well talk to the man about it, you know? But, yeah, I was going to say, it's, I'm lucky if I go once. So, shouts to my doctor who knew talking about practice. Whoop. Maybe he's listening, but he's not. No chance. No chance he's listening.
Right. I mean, if he knows, I feel like he would be listening.
Maybe.
Probably not.
Good hope.
But shout out to him. We do have a pretty diverse listening base. I just ran into someone who has a pretty prominent job around town who listens to the show. And my first thought was, why?
And a little of embarrassment, like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you listen to us?
What? Yeah, I met him in a very professional setting. And I was like, ooh. why do you do that? Stop doing that.
But that is the charm of our show right now.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. We're not professional.
Not at all. Let's talk some hoops. Is that cool with everybody?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, I know you want to. You've been itching for it.
I have been itching for it. So, last night at 12:30 Pacific time, Pacific Standard, 11:30, something like that, Adrian Wojnarowski, a.k.a. Woj, dropped a Woj bomb, which is as close as we're going to get to a Woj bomb in the middle of the summer. That, you guys ready for it? Boston and Brooklyn are in trade talks. Ooh, trade talks.
That's a Woj bomb.
Woj bomb. Yeah. This also hashtag July. What else are we going to talk about than people talking?
I mean, this is the time I feel that they're just trying to keep themselves relevant. And I would say them, NBA reporters. They're just desperate. They've lost out on the clicks. They have no identity. So they've just spread falsalities and rumors that are not necessarily falsalities, but rumors nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And they let it run amok. And we as fans are itching for it because we got, you know, well, you as fans, as NBA fans, who are itching to know the destinations of these superstars.
Well, it's pretty, wherever KD does end up is... That's pretty sizable,
100%,
right?
Like, no, that's why
it's going to be seismic.
Yeah, that one move can change who the favorite is.
Right.
It can take a team that lost 3-1 in the finals and make them win the actual championship. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing that I do find interesting is like favorites in the offseason. Like Vegas had Brooklyn and the Lakers as the prohibitive favorites going into the season, and those two teams won a total of 0 playoffs games this past season. So put whatever stock you want into that, and KD was on one of those teams. So.
Yeah, and Brooklyn was favored to win
That's
the
correct.
Championship going into the playoffs.
That's correct.
Yeah, and yeah.
Well, the Lakers weren't even there to put a foot in the game, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Obviously big news if they actually make a move. What I found interesting, so the supposed trade was Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart with a couple number ones, and then I think like three.
I heard Robert Williams.
It was Jaylen Brown, Derek White. Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and draft picks. They said no because the Nets wanted Smart in that mix.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would take Time Lord. I want Robert Williams because that dude's an absolute freak and was the second best player on that team in the finals besides Jaylen Brown. And I was just thinking about, like, okay, so Jaylen Brown tweets out the whole thing, SMH, shaking my head. He's obviously frustrated. What a weird industry to work in, right? Like, think about this. Like, I'm in sales, right? So let's say I think the equivalent of what Jaylen Brown did in my world would be 120% of quota, which means you exceeded your expectations and then some last year. Mm-hmm. You got him to the finals. You almost won it all. You were the best player for your team in the finals. And then you hear you're in trade talks, and obviously you're going to be frustrated. The shaking my head is part of that. And it's just so crazy how we treat players, right, as 100%. Commodities, as assets, and the idea that you can play that well, and it's just business. You should just be able to shake it off and move on, whatever. It's Kevin Durant. You should be able to understand that. Of course not. If my company, if I came in at year's end, did 120% of quota, and my boss sat me down and said, listen, you crushed it last year. We're going to pay you a little bit more, but we're also looking at other options.
Yeah.
And we might send you to some other state in some other city. I'd be like, what do you mean?
Your whole family and everything.
Yeah.
Your whole livelihood is going to change.
I mean, that would. Yeah, but I mean, I don't really buy into that just because, like, this is the game. That's 100% the game.
Yeah, that is
true, too. Like, if you sign him to Salesforce and that happened regularly, then you can't be surprised by it. Yeah, anyone out there who shakes their head is just being dumb and ignorant to the fact that you're in a game where they're trying to build rosters, not make relationships.
It's true.
And that's the thing that's annoying with guys out there. Like, get over the fact that you want people to love you. Mm-hmm. They'll love you wherever you go and you play well. Yeah. Okay? Fans are fickle.
Yep.
And stop getting to the point where you're like, oh, I should be respected. You're like, no. You really are merely a commodity. You're playing basketball. Okay, you're not doing the Lord's work and saving lives out there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you really are just a roster spot. That's what teams are trying to fill. That's how we're able to get such a good product out there, wheeling and dealing of players right now, and people actually going from obscurity to having a chance now.
But you would agree that if you were said player and you got traded or you're rumored to be traded, that that would still be a frustrating process.
No, it hurts,
process.
No doubt. It's but like gonna... that would be like saying, oh, I'm riding down a hill with no pads on, no helmet on, and I'm hoping to make it down alive. But if I get skinned, I'm going to be, oh my gosh, I can't believe I got skinned and hurt.
That's fair.
No. You're in this business.
Yeah.
It is the business. It's not just a business. That is the business. The business is making a roster to be competitive.
Yeah.
To try to get people on your team that necessarily wouldn't and try to make smart roster moves. It's fantasy. It really is. This is real life fantasy basketball.
100%.
And you wheel and deal all the time in your fantasy. That's what they're trying to do too.
Yep.
They're all trying to get their best roster for the right price.
And especially in... Sorry.
And that's what I'm saying. So, like, you can shake your head on merge all you want right now, but it just feels like you're just being naive to the fact of, like, what you're doing. Like, this is why the game is so big. This is why you want to get into it, is because you got caught up in the drama of it all.
Mm.
As a fan, that's what we feast on.
Yeah, drama.
So, just, hey, get used to it. Stop being... If they say one thing to your face and go behind your back, guess what? That's the game. It's like, get over it. Okay, yeah, and we want to see you get mad at them because we like it.
One, it goes both ways.
It does,
right?
100%.
Kyrie said he wanted to finish his career in Boston and was gone that
and that's
summer.
That's why, again, that's the game. No one gives you the straight answer. No one's being truthful out there.
That's fair.
Just like, hey, it's just expecting a liar to tell the truth.
Well, and yeah, loyalty in business only goes the one way, and it's the wrong way, right? Like, the business is always looking out for their business, and the employee is always looking out for the employee, right? And there is some crossover, right? You might make some sacrifices for your employer, and the employer may make some sacrifices for said employee. But at the end of the day, everyone's looking out for their own best interest, and you are correct. That is the line of work that they got into. This is part of the reason they make the big dollars. They do
millions of dollars.
Yeah, but it has to suck to go to work not knowing if you're going to be going to that same job, if you're going to have to pull your kids out of school and move on to freaking Utah or something like that.
I got to say, though, the most volatile would have to be baseball during trade season.
Oh, 100%.
Like, that one right there is probably the worst trade season of all sports.
Well, hockey's very similar. In hockey, a dude got traded in the middle of the game to the team he was playing with.
Guys playing that's the same baseball all the time.
Especially on doubleheaders, I've actually seen players get traded the first game and then go play for the other team the next game.
That's true. Yeah. That is pretty wild.
So, I mean, it's just definitely intense. And, like, when you get into this, and it sucks, it's a cutthroat world out there. But, like, the fact of the matter is, everybody wants to be in those shoes right now. There are thousands upon millions of people that want to play professional basketball.
Well, that's the disconnect, right? That's the disconnect I think so many of these superstars, or just athletes in general, feel between them and fans, right? Is they make so much money nowadays that it's nearly impossible to relate to.
100%.
You know, it is nearly impossible to relate to. So as we even have this conversation, I started off with the question in here, do we feel bad for Jaylen Brown, is what I was trying to get to.
And obviously, I don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's clear you do not. And I understand it.
Yeah.
I understand it. He did sign up for this. But I think you can sign up for this, make a bunch of money, and have some room for empathy.
I mean, no doubt. You can do that. But here's the thing. If you want to get into that world where you begin, like, the guy in the city, like, you want to become essentially, like, the Dallas Mavericks. I feel like they're a team that takes on that one guy and will hold on to them for as long as possible. They did that with Dirk. They're trying to do that with Luka.
Yeah.
They're like one of those. If you want to be that, but they're also an obscure franchise. If they win a championship, it's like, oh, you got your one. Congratulations, you know? But if you want to be consistently in the mix right now, you're going to be on one of those teams that's going to be consistently wheeling and dealing.
That's true.
Also out there, we've heard it before, there are a lot of teams out there that don't really care about winning so much. They just want to make the money.
They're here
to just like, hey, this guy's cheaper money. He'll still be on the court. He may not be a better guy, but he's cheaper than the other guy, and I can still keep below the luxury tax line. I don't really care about winning. I just care about getting the money that's going to guarantee me from all these TV rights deals that they have. So it is very nasty in that fact. So bind yourself into this, an organization that does want to win.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's only about five players in the entire league that are above ever having to worry about this.
No doubt.
Yeah. Right? It's you have few. KD, Steph, Giannis, Luka.
When they move, they want to move.
Yeah.
Yeah. And other than that, everyone else is susceptible to being traded.
You really, yeah.
So, and it is what you are making tens of millions of dollars, many of these people. So,
even
again,
your league minimum right now, what is it? 500,000, 600,000?
No, I think it's in the millions now.
Is it millions now? Okay.
1.5 or, yeah, will you look that up?
Like 990, I believe, in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's just like, I get it. It's a tough line, but I'm telling you, if you want consistency in life, become an insurance salesman. All right? And go live your life comfortably where you don't have to worry about being wheeled and dealed and being like, oh, you had a great quarter, we're going to ship you off. You had a great quarter, we're going to reward you. If you want that, get out of that line of business and become an insurance salesman.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what you want. You want consistency and comfort? That's what you do. If you want to live the high-risk life of making millions of dollars, that's the volatility of it.
Yeah.
Don't shake your head at me ever again, Jaylen Brown.
So the minimum salary for players signing contracts in the 2023 2024 NBA season amounted for just over $1 million. So this is the first time has exceeded $1 million.
So it was in the 900s last season.
Yep. Okay. So this year, this upcoming year is going to be the.
Yeah.
Millions.
What did this upcoming year be? 2022?
I mean, yeah, no, not this year, but next year. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about right now, baseball players, like those guys get 500,000. Pretty sure is league minimum or 550.
If you're part of the 40 man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure right now Julio Rodriguez, star for the Seattle Mariners, is on that league minimum.
I think it's 440 or 450.
Yeah, he's raking for that guy, and guy's getting paid $500,000 this year.
But that's kind of the point, right? Like, at least in the NBA, you can be a scrub, I say that in quotes.
A bench rider.
You could be on a bench and you're still making $1 million a year. And to people like us who we all work hard, but you know, we don't have that leverage to negotiate $990,000 a year. And so it's like, I think most people hear what I'm saying about having empathy and roll their eyes and say, listen, you pay me $1 million a year, you can send me anywhere. I'll go work in Des Moines. I'll go work in South Dakota. I don't care.
I go to Antarctica for a year for $1 million.
That would be dope, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an experience, not, man. $1 million experience right there. I'd probably kill myself, but yeah, I don't get a chance to spend the money, but now I'm doing it.
Oh, man. All right. I just wanted to mention this because the stat was going around on social media all last week. We posted it, but I just thought it bared repeating that no active NBA player has ever faced Sacramento Kings in the playoffs.
Saddest thing ever. That is unreal.
You want to feel for the Kings fans. You do.
Not I do. Really. I hate the Kings.
It is now just sheer pity on you guys at this point.
But they do it to themselves every year.
Well, not. I mean, the organization.
The Kings
fans. The fact that you're staying loyal there, again, loyalty goes the wrong way.
And that's another team that is pretty much just doing it for the money. Everyone's saying that this new owner came in. They got a beautiful arena.
Golden One is a nice place.
That whole little area. But at the end of the day, they keep on, you know, fumbling the bag, as they say, drafting other players that they could have had an all-star team right now.
2006, the last time the Kings made the playoffs, I believe they faced the San Antonio Spurs. So that was a Duncan, Ginobili, Parker-led team. So, yeah, no active NBA player.
That's unreal.
Can you pull up the 2006 Spurs roster and the 2006 Kings roster? Because I think that's amazing. I do feel bad for the Kings fans out there. It's just been so long, man. So long. They have a nice team this year. I will say, going into this season, I do like their team. The problem is they're in the West. And the West is absolutely loaded this year. It's insane.
Clippers, Lakers, Phoenix, Warriors.
Mavericks.
And then Mavericks. Utah gets Jamal Murray.
I'm thinking of the.
Denver gets the, Jamal Murray.
Division national, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, in division.
Individual,
yeah.
Just weird division, yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Only that division, yeah, it's insane. They're in the bottom of the
bottom
bracket.
Of that, yeah. Just that division. That's not including no Dallas, no Utah, no Portland,
yeah,
no Minnesota.
Too, man.
I mean, Portland gets Dame back, and they're going to be, what, the 10th best team? Memphis. I mean, this
Memphis,
the West is stacked. We didn't even mention the Warriors.
Right? Oh, and like, the Warriors.
I threw them into my
head.
But still, it's just, it is disgusting.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
like, even though the Kings roster looks pretty nice going into the season, again, we just mentioned the teams. All those teams, you would pick above the Kings right now.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying the Kings can't have a surprising run, but a surprising run is just making it to the playoffs and getting booted in the first round. Yes, sir.
All right, so let's go with the Kings first. They had notable names.
Hold on, can we guess real quick?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Who's on that 2006 roster?
Doug Christie on there? Is Doug Christie on there?
Doug Christie is not on that one, no.
Mike Bibby was still there, right?
Mike Bibby's still there.
Ugh, hate him.
I can't even do this. I can't even.
This is
Bobby Jackson. Is Bobby Jackson there?
Oh, Bobby Jackson. Yeah.
Bobby Jackson is. I'm not seeing him. Stojakovic is there.
Stojakovic is still there.
Didn't they get Sharif Abdul-Rahim?
Yes, they did.
Oh yeah. They did. Good
yes.
call.
Okay. Honestly, cool. And this was actually one of my favorite players back in junior high. Brad Miller. I'm just going to give that one out. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Hey, give us their starting lineup if you don't mind.
It doesn't actually have them. Right. It just has their roster.
Never
mind. No way. Was Meta World Peace actually on this team? No way.
Well, give us.
Rochester was the king at one point.
Yeah, Meta World Peace was actually on this team.
Give us another guy who we might recognize. Yeah.
Kenny Thomas, maybe?
Who?
Okay. Corliss Williamson.
Okay, I remember him. Let's
10 years.
Let's move this on because I feel this.
So here, I mean, the Spurs had Tim Duncan, Ginobili, Robert Ori.
Robert Ori.
Ah,
there you go. Rob.
Was it Nazar Muhammad?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Ah, yes.
Parker.
Yeah.
And then Nick Van Exel. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go.
I honestly, I don't ever remember him in the playoffs. Or, I'm sorry, as a Spur.
Who?
Nick Van Exel. I don't remember.
I just remember he was only there for a year. He was only there for a year. And he only played two games with them. Or he started two games with them,
He was merely
That was a Heat Mavs. That was when Dwayne Wade got his first title. 2006.
Was Speedy Claxton on that Spurs team?
Oh, will you please look that up?
Wait, which year? Sorry.
Speedy Claxton, was he on that Spurs team?
For 06?
Yeah.
You know what? Let's stay right here.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Now I'm just thinking of people right now.
No, this is fun. No, I get it. I'm going down this.
No, he's not on that.
He was not on that team, no.
Because I want to say he was a Spur at one point in time. Was he? I'm thinking I want to say.
Speedy?
Or maybe was he a Mav? Maybe I'm thinking he's a Mav with Finley and Nowitzki and his backup for Nash. I think that's what it was.
Michael Finley?
Yeah. He was a backup for Nash, I want to say. All right. So, but anyway. Love the name Speedy Claxton.
Yeah.
Just,
great
name. That's a
great
classic,
name. 100%.
Classic name right there.
So he played for the Warriors, the Hornets, and Philly, and Atlanta, and one season with the Spurs. But that season was in 02-03.
Okay, I'm all wrong then. Never mind.
You're not wrong.
We'll keep it
wrong
moving.
Wrong year, right team.
Did you want to get into this Michael Wilbon sound?
Yeah.
Called Michael Wilson. All right. You want to play it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Smart when it comes to this. He's constantly promoting his podcast. That's all he does. And he knows that he's going to get attention by saying we could beat the Utah Jazz by 40. That's not going to happen. And this is what I'm worried about, Mike. Because when you and I, when I first met you, and now we're going through the 90s and the Bulls are winning, no one would be disrespectful towards Michael Jordan. Unfortunately, I have now arrived at an age where this younger generation doesn't really understand how good Michael Jordan is and was. That's what worries me.
You know what they do? And anybody who watches this show or any show that I'm on knows how much I love Draymond Green.
Yep.
And the fact that Draymond is willing to engage all the time. I love that about him. But all these guys now, including Draymond, they all think that because they say something and then put it on Twitter or say it on a podcast or then put it on TikTok,
you knew he was
that it's true.
Going.
That it's true. They think they think everything they say is on the money.
Yeah.
When half the they say it's just wrong. Now, Draymond may be very right here. I like what he did because he's saying if they play it like this, they think Michael Jordan's too damn stupid to be different when he needed to be different. Are they paying attention? They can all talk trash now because they've all gotten their asses kicked by Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. All of them. Because Draymond in a different era would have been in the post and Kareem would have been shooting 16 of 18 skyhooks over him and Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
So they can all look at what they are now and how great they are, and they can say it again on Twitter, and they can say it again on TikTok, and they can believe all their BS.
Yeah.
Okay? But again, I like what Draymond did, and he said, if they're going to play. Like Michael Jordan couldn't speed it up in the Bulls of that day, who shot a higher percentage in that season from three-point range than the Warriors in 2015.
Why are you yelling at me? I'm not Draymond Green.
They can look it up because you're young. I'm substituting you for Draymond.
Thank you. I need
and all the youngins. Are you? Are they kidding me?
I was wrong about this. I predicted you would not go crazy over this topic.
Stop.
All right, so really quickly. Ron Harper, we have Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman.
Like they weren't going to defend? They weren't going to defend? Y'all better wake up.
Kevin Durant.
Y'all think y'all woke?
Draymond.
Y'all better wake the hell up. All of y'all, from AAU to the top of the NBA, wake up.
All right.
I'm awake.
Very awake.
I'm awake.
Rudy, you wanted me to play that?
Yeah, I thought that was an epic, epic rant. Draymond, you know, he's a talker like we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone loves to compare new teams to old teams or whatnot. Draymond came out to say that the 2017 Warriors would beat that 98 Chicago Bulls team by 20, that Jazz team by 40 in that same season. And Mike Woolman just, I think he put him in check. Because Draymond said that, who's going to defend Clay? Who's going to defend Curry? It's like, bro, he just named off four Hall of Famers with Dennis Rodman in that lineup. It's like, come on, dude. That team was going to shut that team down. I'm sorry, Drew, but the 98 Bulls are way better. Not way better, are better than the 17 Warriors.
They're absolutely not, and there's nothing I want to hear less about than eras competing against each other.
Well, that too, yeah.
I love – Michael Wilbon just sounds like an old man.
I was going to say, I'm everyone gives Jordan way too much. Everyone is on that Dick Cheney riding him all the time right now.
I mean, Jordan was absolutely insane.
He was a beast,
But I'm on the same page. I'm like, we can't compare eras. Why?
Yeah.
Well, that's true, too. But you can't. What I'm saying is that I think Draymond is not giving the 98 Bulls.
I mean, Draymond's dumb
credit
for comparing the two right there.
Yeah.
And Wilbon's dumb for getting all hyped about it.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I do enjoy what Kevin Durant tweeted after Draymond Green tweeted. I can't tell you what the result would be, but I do know Steve Kerr would have demanded that we put Steve Kerr in as many pick and rolls as possible. Kerr was a defensive liability, and he himself knew it.
Yeah. That is perfect. It's an old man yelling at the kids for having opinions. And listen, this is what happens. The further we get away from your heyday, whenever your sports heyday is, the further we hold on to it. Like, I feel the same way about the NBA in the 90s. You know, I don't hold on to it the same way, but like the NFL was way tougher back in the day. Like, and I'm going to tell my children, that I'm probably never going to have if I'm lucky, about how much better sports were in my day. And it's just what we do. It's just like Charles Barkley and all those guys raining down judgment all the time about how the league's gone soft. It's just what we do. It's what old people do, right?
No doubt, 100%. And Wilbon's doing what he had to do, and Draymond is just being himself as well.
Being Draymond.
Yeah. Being Draymond, and no respect.
Zero respect. Let's move on. You want to get a quick F1 update in?
Verstappen won. Leclerc sucks. Okay. Ferrari sucks. Mercedes. Wow, they came out of nowhere right
two and
now.
Three.
They're back into it.
Yeah.
Let's go. We're back. We're back.
Finally
we're
right
not
now.
Back, but...
Red Bull still taking the lead right now. Perez, you gave up a podium. What are you
doing?
What happened to that Mexico Minister of Defense? I've seen better walls with better defenses than that right there.
Terrible.
Hey. Come on.
It's just true, though. Right there. But hey, are people still getting through that wall, damn it? Let's go.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Well, it's either up and over it. Now, actually, no, I messed that one up.
Brad, just save it. All right, save it.
I tried and I couldn't do it.
All right.
I fumbled.
Easy, Tiger.
Everyone needs a good coyote. Okay?
Brad flew too close to the sun on that one. It's just like, I don't know.
Kiss got two Mexicans on the show right now.
I have a lot of
black friends, okay?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Jeez.
That's right. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California, people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Shout out to you for listening to the nonsense it is we got going on around here.
And again, talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Drew, Derek, Rudy, Statman Brad, all in the building for you. We got to give a shout out to our friends over at Friends of the Arts. Your state local partner to California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know, or if you'd like to have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. So shout out to Friends of the Arts. Shout out to our friends over at Halo Breast Care Center and Halo Diagnostics. And most importantly, shout out to you for listening to us. Know you're appreciated, and we love y'all. All right. It's been a long week in the news. If you're tired of hearing about politics and other sad stuff, Derek's got your back.
That I do.
With the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
The dramatic pause, okay? Pregnant pause.
Hopefully not a pregnant pause.
Anyway,
that's right, y'all.
Time for the news.
Turn off phone. I've got some doozies.
Got some heaters.
I love a good doozy.
So, I don't know about you. I think everyone has always been fascinated with space, you know?
Yeah,
I've always
of
thought
course.
About who wouldn't want to go up to space.
Definitely.
I mean, it's scary and daunting, but I would definitely, if given the opportunity, like take a little trip up there, I would totally do
sign
it.
Me
100%,
up.
Man. I want to see what it looks like right now.
Yeah.
Is it really flat? You know? That's what I want to know. That being said, in a recent interview, one of the NASA engineers divulged some information about what it's like living up in space. Well, apparently, it's tough out there, especially if you're a dude. Maybe not for Brad, but maybe for other people out there, it'd be tough. Because in the International Space Station, you are not allowed to masturbate.
What?
What?
That
the
is
hell
right.
What are they doing out there, then?
Not masturbating, wow. That's for sure. Because you can't. Why? Because in zero gravity, those little guys have a way of finding themselves into holes. And some of those holes result in children being born. And that's why they can't do that.
So I'm assuming it's happened in the past.
He didn't say specifically. But he was saying, with women on board.
Ooh, imagine
those
that.
Those little dudes can swim.
Imagine
and they can
that.
Swim far, high and wide. And they'll find their way in when there's no gravity pulling them down.
Whoa!
That is right, y'all. So if you ever go up into the space station, don't jerk off. Okay? Like, you can't. Hold it. All right? No masturbating in space.
That's, wow.
Amazing, right? Wow. So careful out there.
Learn something new every day.
Noted.
Moving on now. I don't know how you move on from that right now, but we do find a way. We do find a way.
We're just moving on from masturbation in space.
To cockfighting! Yeah! That is right, y'all. Time to give you an update.
Hold on.
On the cockfighting world.
Hold on.
Yes.
Before you... Do you think there's anyone on radio, anywhere in the world, who has done more updates on cockfighting?
No, I'm doing my part. Okay. Yeah. I'm doing my part to try
raising
to bring awareness.
Yeah.
Bring an end to this atrocity that is going out there.
And I'm sure it's working,
if
man.
If you know
where
it's happening, let me know. I've always wanted to see it, okay? That being said, end cockfighting. If you do know, let me know. On the download. Find my idea. That being said, we have a great, great story here in the Antelope Valley. As authorities were on a little search warrant and found themselves 228 potential cockfighters, and they saved them. That's right.
Oh.
These 228 cocks never had a chance to enter the ring because they were saved by the long arm of the law.
Leave it that.
Also, 500 pounds of marijuana was found in the facility, too.
Of course there was, right?
I mean, what are you going to do with a cockfight?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, you get high, then you eat the loser, right? So imagine how it's done.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I've been to a bullfight before. That's dinner that evening. We use all parts of the bull, okay?
Good.
And I hope you use all parts of the chicken, too. I'm sorry, of the cock. Use all parts of that. So yes, 228 potential cockfighters taken out of existence, and they're not in there anymore. So thank God for our government saving and ending to cockfighting. That's what we need to do, right? Amen to that.
Good for them.
But again, if you do know one, let me know. All right, last one. Last one. What? You're giving me very perplexed.
Yeah, because I was kind of confused. I didn't hear a block joke on that one. These fighters were kind of blocked.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm
Brad.
Surprised.
How did I let him do
well,
that?
It was also my girlfriend mentions like, why did they not say this? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. She where's came in. She's like, wait, why is this joke was missed?
Okay. Wow. I know.
I don't know how.
Sometimes I miss the low hanging fruit. Sometimes, you know. I'm sad now.
The family jewels. were missed.
All's ruined. I don't even really want to do this last story, but I got to because it's a good one too. This is a solid one. This is just. Anything can happen out there. So we head over to Michigan, that fine little mitten of a state, where a lady filed a lawsuit against a gentleman for $10,000 and alleged in said lawsuit that she showed him a bad time on a date. And that's right. In fact, that date never even took place. And that's what she's complaining about. So apparently, she waited outside for quite some time. Date never showed up. So what did she do? Sued that ass for $10,000 for emotional distress.
Oh,
apparently,
my
lady went through some tough times. Her mother just passed away. And it was the eve of her birthday. And now, her date stood her up. More emotional distress. 100% more emotional distress. Now, apparently, there is written evidence. Not written evidence. There is a written agreement to have said date happen. I think it's probably online. But either way, she's trying to say that's a binding contract. And try to take that to court.
A binding contract. Wow.
Judge found it all very ridiculous.
Yeah, it's wasting his time.
Lady is very persistent about this. Hearing her, she and the judge got into verbal altercation. And it led to her not being able to serve his trial. And is moving on to another judge to mediate the situation now. So there's actual stuff going on.
My.
And this man might be liable to pay $10,000 for not showing up to the
date.
Dude. All right?
What is going on in today's world, man? That is just unreal.
You probably got, you know, blocked at a cockfighting event. You know?
Wow.
He was going to get it in one way.
I had to.
Yeah.
I had to. Okay. And that's my news, y'all. So careful. Make sure you don't stand up your dates.
Yeah.
And
or else you'll be out 10 Gs.
10 Gs right there, man.
Damn. And don't block the cockfight.
Don't block the cockfight.
Wow.
You'll actually block the cockfighting.
Oh, wait.
You
yeah.
Block
yeah, you
yeah. You want to be
you
want a good cockfighter.
Block. You do. You want to block the cocks. Of fighting.
Fighting.
Yes. You want to stop that.
Got it.
But again, if you know one, let me know. and yeah, that's the news, y'all. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
We want to bring on our foreign correspondent, class up the show. We can move off of cockfighting and actually talk about some sports that we don't cover too well around here. So we bring in Aaron from Utah. Aaron, hello.
How's it going, guys?
It's going good.
Yeah.
We're doing okay over here.
Little sweltering going on.
Yeah.
Spitzing a little bit, but we're good.
It's a little toasty. Let's talk about the weather then. How's the weather over there?
Cool thoughts, baby.
Yeah, it's hot in Utah too. And Duro, earlier in the show, I think you were kind of dissing Utah. It's kind of great to live here, okay? So I'm a little offended by that.
Oh, he did say something about it.
Yeah, no, I was taking shots, but like I'm talking about being like a 23-year-old superstar black athlete. I don't think Utah would be your first destination you would choose.
What do you mean? All the great hiking, okay? Don't they know? They love the outdoors.
I'm sure,
right?
I'm sure they want to go check out Zion and the Arches. I'm not saying that those things are bad. I know they have an awesome beer scene out in Utah. I know it's beautiful.
Exactly.
I'm just saying if I'm...
You might be able to have more than one wife, okay?
All right, good point.
Yeah.
All right. You know what, Aaron?
Trade-offs.
I apologize. I'm sorry for dissing your current home state.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. Let's talk a little golf. Tony Finau, huh? Finally with the comeback.
Yeah, speaking of Utah, man, what a guy. Tony Finau ends up winning the 3M Open yesterday. It was at TPC Twin Cities in Blaine, Minnesota. Finau did have a great day, but Scott Piercy might actually be the story of the weekend. Just a massive collapse. Several bogeys. He tripled bogeyed at one point. He came into the day up 4 strokes, and I think Tony was back 5 And Tony, birdie after birdie, ended up winning it all. It was pretty impressive for both Tony winning and Scott Piercy utterly collapsing.
It was an epic collapse. But yeah, shout out to Tony Finau.
One of us. Scott Kersey, you know, one of us. We're sucking at golf.
Oh.
Yeah.
Got it.
Triple bogey. Pathetic.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Triple bogeyed a hole. Yeah. Like, that's tough to do. But
I mean, not for us.
I was going to say, no, it's not.
That's par for the course for me, yeah. Right there, you know?
Yeah, I'm shooting for double bogey every hole. So. Yeah. No, we've all been there. All right, let's talk Tour de France. That wrapped up this past weekend, right?
It sure did. I just wanted to throw that in there since I mentioned it last weekend. I don't have a whole lot on it other than the guy that won was a Danish guy. I don't know. Do they bike a lot?
We do have some good bikers listening to the show. I'm sure they love a little more. What was the guy's name? We need to know it. He needs to get a little shout. Yeah. Give him some shine.
Yeah, I had it here and then I closed my link. Sorry, guys.
Wow. Okay. Right, sorry, we'll never.
There he goes.
It's all the bikers in the crowd. Yeah, they're waiting with bated breath.
Who
to
won
find
it?
Out who won Tour de
we'll
France?
We'll never know.
The winner of the Tour de France, Jonas Vingegaard.
Vingegaard. That's my man, dude. Yeah, dude. He's an up-and-coming cyclist. He's got quads. Okay. Good. Yeah, dude can bike.
That's my man.
Yeah.
You're a big Vindegaard fan,
big,
huh?
Big Vindegaard fan, yeah.
Okay.
As opposed to Stugard, who is his rival, who I hate. Vindegaard, yes. Stugard, no.
Are you making all
really
this stuff?
Right now, Derek. You're okay. Really killing it.
100%.
All right. Let's move on to a sport I know is near and dear to your guys' heart. Track and field.
Yes.
Track and field.
Exactly. I did way more research on this than I did on the Tour de France because I do love track and field. I only mentioned to you, Drew, the women, but I should have gave a shout out to the men. It was the World Championships over the last couple of weeks. The men actually swept the 100, and then they also won the 200 and the 400. Oddly enough, they didn't win the 4x1 Canada one, which, like,
that hurt a lot. We lost to Canada. No, we can't do that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Track and field?
Canada won.
In a sprint race.
In a sprint?
How's that possible?
Like, not a maple-chugging contest. A sprint, okay?
Mm. Yeah.
No.
Dude.
But even stranger, that the USA men swept the men's 100. They got gold, silver, bronze, and then Canada won the 4x1. Mm. Very bizarre. They did end up winning the 4x4, so a little redemption there. The women did pretty well too. They won the 4x1 and the 4x4. We have the women that swept the 100 was Jamaica. I mean, no one's, I think, really surprised there. But I think the breakout star for track and field, you'll probably start hearing this name soon, is Sydney McLaughlin. She won the women's 400 meter hurdle by a second and a half. It was a world record. She's kind of incredible.
So if you don't already know her name. Sydney McLaughlin is a star. She's a stud. She won the Olympic gold previously in Tokyo. And the 400-meter hurdles is probably the toughest race in all of track and field. That and the 800. I'd say the 800 because I'm in it. But still, you ask anyone, that 400-meter hurdle is a dog of a fight. And she made it look like puppy chow. It's incredible to see what she was doing out there. Sydney McLaughlin, know that name. Not to mention, I love her too. So, you know, there's that, you know.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Second and a half, she won by. It's incredible.
Thank
absolutely
you for
incredible
sharing your crush with
and
us.
She did her shatter her own world record that she had broken. And a lot of world records are actually broken in this world championship.
Yeah. Didn't that one dude break Michael Johnson's record?
He did break Michael Johnson's record. Yeah, in the 200.
200. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I see why you have a crush on this gal.
Yes. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. I get it.
She is a babe, wow, okay, and like she's like peak physical specimen right there, okay?
No, all right. Well, let's relax.
Tell me I'm wrong, okay?
Yeah.
All right, I'll fight to the death for that woman, okay?
Hey, all right, Brad.
But would you sue for $10,000 about it?
Yeah, if she told me she was going to be there and let me down, I would be like, no! And she probably has the money to give it to me. You know?
All right.
I would never do that. No. She
Aaron,
has no time for me.
We appreciate it. You got anything else for us on the way out?
No, but I don't think that you guys have mentioned yet that the Dodgers left the Giants.
Yeah. We're going to get to it. Thanks for being on the show, Aaron. No, it's been great to have
blah,
you.
Blah, blah,
and we will
blah,
catch up
blah.
With you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
Later.
Right. Let it percolate right now, you know? Let it steam.
Damn.
She really had to just get that little finger in. And then
oh, by the way, the Dodgers stuff the Giants. Later, guys.
Yeah. Nice. Very good of her. See, I let her do that. I wanted to.
As we all expected that, too. We're, you know, we suck right now.
Giants really. Are
Giants?
Yeah.
I mean, we're third place.
You saw the dog in the fight in the wild card.
Yeah,
the wild
but
card
still, if we do make it, we're not going to make it. I don't know.
I wouldn't say that.
All you need to do is get into it. That's
yeah, that's all you need.
Like, that scares me. Like, I wouldn't want to face you guys in the playoffs. I would rather you not be in the playoffs because I don't want to have the chance of losing to you all in the playoffs.
I know. I'm just being sad and depressed.
No doubt.
We're two games out of the wild card.
Yeah, we're not
still
that
very
bad.
Much into, yeah. in this. And look, the Dodgers are ridiculous this year.
We are. Yeah.
181 run to plus 181 run differential.
Stupid.
Incredible. Second best in the majors behind the Yankees at plus 200. And they were about, I want to say they were like 40 or 50 runs behind them. And so now they're only 19. So they've been absolutely
mashing. Yankees have been a little cooling off, and we are on a nice little hot streak coming out of the All-Star break. Great way to get started, obviously. I love it.
11.5 game lead in the division. So they probably they have that pretty much sewn up unless something crazy happens.
I've been doing a lot of, looking at stats a lot lately with that. Just it's nice.
Stupid.
I'm sorry you guys aren't feeling my way, but
it's all good.
I just want to get to October. That's really what it matters.
We
just need to get to October. Yeah. That's what I want.
The Cards still have a chance to be in the playoffs as well, and that's their kryptonite.
Yes, they are. Yeah, the Cards are. And especially if they have a lot of chance. Juan Soto is the big name on the most likely this trade deadline, and St. Louis has a lot of resources to be able to get
Juan Soto said no to $440 million. He's looking for a half billy?
It just must mean that D.C. sucks.
Yeah.
There's no one there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean,
he's
nice
gonna
logo.
Waste his career
classic
staying
logo
there.
With
yeah.
the W.
Great logo. Great logo. That W is
clean. But that's not enough to keep Juan Soto around, so he'll be out. See probably some other. It's gonna be interesting to see because there are a lot of teams right now that are still vying for it. So a lot of teams don't want to be sellers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you're going to be having a lot of less people out there. So you got to come up with the right price, and you got to have prospects. So this deadline's going to be interesting. I don't think a lot of people are going to be moving, but a couple big names will be out there.
Yeah, and he still has this year left on his contract and next year as well too.
No, 2 years after this.
Oh, yeah. 2 years
so
after this.
If you
this
get
one.
Him, if you get him, you're essentially getting for 2.5 years.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So yeah,
right.
Any team that does, it's definitely if you're right on the cusp. I would sell the farm. Like, the Padres are a very real team that can land him and the Cardinals.
And fully healthy.
Yeah.
That team is...
And not just that, but it's like...
And if you get him for a 2 year rental, fine.
Dude, take him.
Do it.
This is your window right now. Yeah. He's never won a World Series. They're desperate for one. That city clamors for a championship. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And they deserve one. San Diego's a nice city, but I don't want them to win.
I love San Diego. Yeah.
Padres are. I have
that stadium's incredible.
Padres are trash,
I love Petco Park.
San Diego's sick.
Petco Park is so great.
I mean, it's right on the beach.
Yeah.
How do you not like that?
Yeah, right in the heart
good
of Gas
food.
Lamp.
Beautiful.
Great food.
Great
too.
Food. Yeah.
They have a lot of good beer.
Just incredible.
PB.
Good job.
La Jolla.
I gotta say,
hey, those jerseys though. Your city. What are they? The city.
City Connect jerseys.
The City Connect were trash.
The
Dodgers one are trash.
Trash, yeah.
No, San Diego might like have the worst jerseys I've ever seen.
Neon orange
it felt like it was more Miami.
Yeah, it was a Miami.
Yeah, exactly. It's just more like acid trip, but not a fun one. Like a bad
glow
trip.
In the dark jersey.
Bad trip. Bad trip. It's
I really
gross.
Feel like who's coming up with these City Connect jersey ideas and like who's approving them?
I don't know.
You know,
I
like,
hate
are you running
them
by fans?
Is it Nike? Is Nike doing the jerseys?
I want to say Nike is.
It is Nike, yeah. These
on,
are,
Nike,
I mean, I don't get this.
They're terrible. There's nothing to get. They're terrible.
Like, I kind of wanted to like it because, like, oh, but no, it really
no,
is.
No, they're
like,
bad.
Yeah.
They're
I mean,
bad.
Ours are bad.
I mean, the Giants are pretty fire. I like those.
The only reason I don't like the Giants is they put the G
on
there.
The fog? Yeah.
You don't have the SF.
Compared to all the other City Connects, they're.
I like their hats. I don't like the jerseys.
I don't
as
like
much.
How you. Again, the G on there, it just annoys me.
Yeah.
If you guys.
If it was the SF,
Because the SF is the classic logo in the game.
Agreed. All right, let's move on. You want to give us some useless stats?
Absolutely.
Do you want some music, or are you good to go?
I mean, if you want to put music behind it, you can. If not, I'm just going to keep going. So, we actually posted this, and it was also Barry Bonds' birthday this weekend.
Oh, happy birthday.
In 2004, he had 373 at-bats. He reached base safely 376 times.
Wait, what?
In 2004, he had 300 73 at-bats. He reached base safely 376 times, three more times than he had at-bats. How is that possible? He had 232 walks. That is right, 232 walks in 2004. That is the most ever in a season.
How many times did he hit by a pitch?
It does. He was hit by a pitch that year nine times.
That's still a lot. He's a big body.
Yes.
Big target.
Second stat on top of that, from 2001 and 2004, he had more walks than he did hits each one of those seasons. 177 walks, 198 walks, 148 walks, and then 232 walks. The most he had hit-wise was in 2001, 156 hits.
He only had 100,
I guess, in that season because he was walked so much. His on-base percentage those 3 years, 515, 582, 529, and then 609. 609 on-base percentage.
This is why we need a designated steroid guy.
He had an on-base percentage of 609.
609, yeah. That is incredible. But and his batting average though was 362 that year. And in 2002, 370. Like even if he evened out at like 300, 310, I mean he would have had over 3,000 hits. Well over.
Does it say how many intentional walks he had that year or no?
Yes, it does. So he had 120 intentional walks the year that he had in 2004.
120.
It was 68, 61, and then 120 in those 3 years.
Over half his walks. Almost.
Wow. Yeah. But also remember the 2001 when he only had 35 intentional walks, he had 73 home runs, the record. So the juice has really worked out.
The juice was worth the squeeze. Hey.
I mean,
that head was massive.
It was.
That's also what she said. My head was massive.
Yeah.
But I do like to always say, still no 3,000 hits. And again, I know, tough, walked a lot, but still.
Yes.
No rings. Okay, no rings.
Yeah. But
again, I will say, obviously, as a Dodgers fan, the guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He's disgusting.
100%.
Phenom. It's just the hypocrisy that goes into it with Big Poppy being voted in his first ballot, and the guy was in the same type of situation. Actually, I believe didn't Big Poppy test positive?
No, 100%.
Yeah, he tested positive.
And he came out and apologized and everything.
And Barry Bonds never did it, by the way.
Well, yeah, because Poppy's on.
It was different times, but still, Barry Bonds never did test positive. We all know he did it.
Well, yeah.
He never did test positive for it. But the fact of the matter is that you're going to have just the blatant hypocrisy in it.
Mm-hmm. It's stupid.
And he
still has a chance to make it in. It just through another process. Yeah. So
we'll see. Maybe if he dies, he'll probably get another guy. Fine, now I'll get you. Yeah. All right. So just drop dead, Barry. Get yourself into the Hall of Fame.
Oh my God. Worth it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's your useless.
You wanted only two. I got more if you want.
All Barry Bonds related?
No. One's a LeBron James one.
Okay, give it to us.
All right. LeBron James is coming up real close on being the he'll have the most points here soon. If LeBron James plays his average number of games next season, which is 55, all he needs to do is average 24.1 points per game to pass Kareem as NBA's all-time scoring leader.
I think he's going to do it this season.
So, yeah. I think he's going to get more than 55 games, so he's going to have a little bit better of a chance. So, I mean, 24 points per game for him, fairly easy.
I don't want to see that happen. I hate to see him pass Kobe.
Now he's going to pass Kareem.
Yeah.
Wearing
the same purple and gold.
In the Lakers jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
damn it. That's
the last time he didn't hit.
I love it. If I'm doing well, I'm going to buy tickets to that game.
The last time he didn't score 24 points per game in a season was his rookie year.
That's insane too.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
God, yeah,
he's so good.
He's pretty good.
No, he's pretty. He's
pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good player.
Yeah.
All right, let's get Rudy's picks. I don't have your drop, so we're gonna go with an old one
again.
Oldie but goodie.
Wow. Oh yeah.
Hey, it's me. Knock knock. So you got my money?
All right, guys. What do I have? I forgot. Just kidding. Huh. We got Houston. I did actually forget. Houston over the A's. Three-game series starting today. They're going to sweep them. And I got the Dodgers starting today as well over the Nationals. They're going to get swept as well. So we're going to parlay both of those teams Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, two-team parlays. And then coming up this weekend, I got the Yankees over the Kansas City Royals. Mm. So we got three dominant teams playing against the bottom of the table. So
start feasting, boys.
This week is the time to make that money back if you've been losing because your boy's been on a heater lately. And, you know, I just pick winners. Knock on wood. Let's go, baby.
Dodgers minus 300 tonight, money line.
Oh, and bet those on the run line at minus 1.5. Don't touch the money line because that is just way too high.
Okay. Well, then the money line doesn't matter.
Yeah, because that's 3-1, and those are horrible odds.
Stay away from the money line.
Yeah.
All right.
Anything over minus 250 is just way too much.
Got it.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby. All right. Time to do something different.
Yeah, we got. Yeah, we've been talking about a certain. We've all been in the bartending world.
Yep.
And we've always wanted to try to incorporate it in here, and I've been able to lucky to reach out to I would say a close personal friend of mine now. Who is a legitimate mixologist.
Yeah.
And he's here to give us the proper ways in handling the bar. We can maybe get some questions in on him as well, but I think he's going to maybe go over a cocktail or two.
Nice.
Jacques, you there? Good day. My name is Jean-Jacques Leplume. I am a mixologist, not a bartender. I craft drinks with the best of them. Good day.
Hey, Jacques, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well. I am very happy to be here to tell you how to act in a le bar. So let's get into it, shall we? Let's start with a classic cocktail, shall we? A martini. It can be a fantastic cocktail that makes you feel fantastic inside, vivacious, alive, and well. But there is a proper way in which you craft a martini. You can do either vodka or gin. If you do vodka, I think of less of you, but you can still do it. And when making said cocktail, you always stir. You stir, you stir, you stir. You do not shake a martini. If you want to shake, take your ass to the dance floor where you can shake all you want. But when you want the martini, you stir. You stir, you stir, you stir. Not shaking. Why? It is a proper cocktail and does not need to be shaken. It is stirred. Not shaking. If you want to shake, ass dance floor. No shaking a martini. You stir. If you like it dirty, ooh, I like you. With a little olive juice, yes, oui, delicious. But a martini, classic cocktail, James Bond was a buffoon who did not know his ass from his face when he asked for a martini, shaken, not stirred. What are you doing, you imbecile? That is the wrong way. You do not shake a martini. James Bond, get your ass to the dance floor where you can shake all you want, but not shaking martinis. Stir, always stir.
How many olives? What standard?
Two olives. Proper, give someone to feast on, maybe a twist if they like to get a little zesty.
So talking about olives, is it rude to ask for blue cheese stuffed olives?
How dare you stuff a blue cheese into an olive? An olive is delicious as it is. Why would you put cheese into an olive? No. Okay. What are we doing? No.
I just had to know.
Blue cheese. Hey, it's molded cheese. I love cheese, but not in a martini.
Okay.
No. No question? No, you're looking at me with a question? No.
I mean, can you stuff anything with an olive? Like, to put it in a martini? You're scaring
you
me a little bit.
Okay. If you want to stuff, then your girl to the bathroom and stuff her there, okay? Otherwise,
I'm not allowed
you
to.
You do not do that. You stir, you stir, you stir. You're not stuffing an olive. If you wish to stuff it into your face. And that is how you make a proper martini.
Oh, Jacques, you are blowing our minds right now.
Yeah.
We appreciate it so much.
This is great. Thank you, Jacques.
Well, I'm glad to be here to tell you how to act properly in a bar. And again, stir a martini. Maybe next week we'll talk about other cocktails and how to make them and how to act in a bar, maybe. Yeah?
Oui, oui.
Hey, Jacques, we appreciate that so much.
Yeah, thank you for joining us, Jacques.
Great, great guy to have on. Yeah, well, thank you for your time. I will see you all later, maybe at the bar where we all can take a shot. Yeah? Oui, oui.
Hey,
that's our boy Jacques right now. He is a true champion.
Yes, shout out
Thank
to
you.
Jacques. Appreciate it. Great work, Jacques. All right, well, that's going to do it for us.
Oh, hold on. Quick shout out to my little brother, Kevin. Yes. He's expecting. He's an avid listener to the show. Loves the show.
What's average listener?
Like, avid.
Avid. Oh, I think it was an average. I was like, how is he? He's not average. He's above average.
He
okay?
tunes in quite a bit. So, yeah, he hit me up the other day. He's expecting the first nephew.
Are you about to have yourself a little